Invite you to remain standing a moment longer as we read this morning's gospel lesson. I'll be reading from the gospel according to Matthew, the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon, and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last workers worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. This passage of scripture that I just shared to you, I want to share a little bit prior to what has gone on there. Prior to this passage that I just read to you, Jesus has been talking to a rich young man. A rich young man who at the moment decided he wanted to follow Jesus, and he asked Jesus what would be necessary for him to do in order to follow Jesus. In other words, he had a moment where he wanted to be faithful, and in that famous exchange, Jesus told him, "You need to go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and then you can come and follow me." And of course, the young man did not return to follow Jesus. And so Jesus had instructed the disciples at the end of chapter 19 with this: "Many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." Interesting enough, he finishes up that verse 16 in chapter 20 in much the same way. Jesus enters into this chapter 20 with that kind of thinking on his mind, trying to help his audience to understand what this kingdom of heaven was to be like. Many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Jesus tells his listeners this parable about this landowner, this owner of a vineyard who needed to have some work done, and so he goes into the marketplace, and he begins to challenge our conventional thinking, our conventional wisdom, the ideas that you and I have about what is fair and equitable, what is just and right. Jesus, for 2,000 years, has been challenging us with these kinds of teachings. And so we're invited to have some sympathies here. I do anyway, and I hope maybe that you do. I see one of those sympathies that I have with those hired last. When the landowner comes out into the marketplace at 5 o'clock and maybe even at 3 o'clock in those earlier in the day, he's amazed that they are still there. But I have sympathies because I know in an economy that was built in 2,000 years ago around agriculture, I know that those who were not landowners, those who didn't have the means to own things, who relied on employment from others, it must have been a heartbreaking thing to leave the children at home and to go off and know come 5 o'clock in the afternoon you may not be able to take anything home and put on the table. And so I know that it must have been gut-wrenching for those laborers to be in that place. You know, I say that's 2,000 years ago. You can go over here a couple of blocks Monday through Friday and see a group of laborers gather hoping that someone will come along during the day and offer them a fair day's wages to do some difficult work that many of us would not want to do ourselves. But I have that sympathy for those laborers who are there hoping that someone with a heart or a need would come along and offer them something so that they could bring hope back to their home. I'm sympathetic to the landowner. He seems to have a job that needed to be done, and he seems to have needed more and more people. And so each time he goes out into the marketplace, he was blessed by finding people, and obviously he's blessed enough to be able to hire them. And so I'm sympathetic with that landowner. But probably like the majority here, I'm also sympathetic with those workers who were hired first, who did the hard labor in the heat of the scorching sun as they bring up to Jesus. I'm sympathetic with them because that's who we often equate ourselves with. We don't think it's fair or just when someone else receives something that we have toiled with or strive for a number of years. I'm thinking that many of us that gather for worship each week want to know about those last-minute conversions. You know, sometimes people call them deathbed conversions or death row kinds of conversions for inmates who give themselves over to Christ. And will they receive that same reward in heaven? We concern ourselves with others' fates as if our own is tied to that. But friends, I want to tell you that this story is not about those last-minute conversions or what we want to make it out to be, a fair and just story. This is about God's pity. This is about God's compassion. This is God's grace at work. And so this is the way God's heaven, this is the way the kingdom of God's heaven is like. It's filled with grace, and you and I make it there only by God's grace. And so that's what we need to hear from the story. I can relate to some of this story, especially that first group that I think I'm sympathetic to, those laborers that had been there hoping that someone would hire them. As a young person, early teenager, I would say even through my teen years, I was not a popular person. I was not coordinated. I know growing up, I had an athletic older brother who was always team captain of anything we did with the neighborhood kids. And I know I would sit on the proverbial sidelines wondering if I would ever be selected to be a part of one of the two teams. And I know what it's like to have people not look at you and not want you. I know what it's like to be the neighborhood kid who has to wear dress shoes in athletic events because I needed arch support. And so I know what it's like to be teased and left out. So I'm sympathetic to those that are in that place. Maybe that's you, and so I'm sympathetic to you. And I'm so glad that I heard the stories of Jesus, and I was able to equate this notion of what God's kingdom is like, this grace that is available for each and every person, the one left out, the one who waits at 5 o'clock in the afternoon to be a part of God's kingdom, that God's grace is there just as abundantly as the one who started out at 6 o'clock in the morning and has served faithfully. Those of us that have sat in our pews year after year, working on that great story of God's love, being transformed, loved no more than the one who comes in at 5 o'clock. So I'm sympathetic and I'm appreciative in more powerful ways than you might ever imagine of God's redeeming grace. In this parable, these workers have gathered, they come, and each time the landowner that goes out and speaks to these workers, the first one, he actually enters into a contract. I'll pay you a fair day's wage. And those workers are happy to go in at 6 o'clock in the morning. Each time he goes back out, he tells those workers, if you'll come in and work the balance of the day, I'll pay you what is right. And so you and I are challenged. We want to be the ones to decide what is right, not what that landowner who has such a generous, loving heart is going to pay them. And so we are left to make sense of this whole issue of fairness. There was I want to share just to break a little bit of the levity. Sigmund Freud was one of the great workers in psychoanalysis. And Sigmund Freud, you may not know, he, you know, we think of him as being a very serious person, but he was actually a jokester. And so one of the jokes he told back about, I think it was about 1915 when he told this joke, he said a pastor was summoned to the hospital. There was an insurance salesman on his deathbed, and this insurance salesman was not just an insurance salesman, he was very atheistic. He did not want to convert, and his family was fearful, and so they summoned the pastor and said, "Pastor, please go in there, do all that you can do so that our loved one does not go to hell." And so the pastor was in the room with the patient for so long, the family's hopes were rising. Every moment the pastor was in there, they just thought, this is just going well. This is going very good. Hopefully he's converted our loved one. And finally the pastor came out, and the pastor said, "Well, did he convert?" And he said, "No, but I have insurance for all sorts of things." Friends, fortunately, we don't have to go looking for fire insurance. We are allowed to accept God's grace and to find our place every day in the vineyard if we must, or even at the end as a part of God's kingdom on earth. We are blessed to be, as Patrick has shared, as Ricky pointed out, as those kids experienced Friday night, we're just blessed to be in a place where we're able to extend this notion of God's grace to other people. Our Gideons are here. They do remarkable work. We are just in a blessed place for the most part. But there are people who do struggle. There are people who do need to hear God's word and to feel God's love. Alice Cooper, I don't know if that name rings a bell to any of you. Some of you may remember Alice Cooper is one of the kind of offbeat, off-color rockers. But you know, Alice Cooper lived life hard. And Alice Cooper says there were days when he would drink a bottle of whiskey every day. He said it was nothing to trash a motel room. As a matter of fact, that's what became one of his trademarks, was to trash a hotel. But Alice Cooper says, after being married to his wife Sylvia for about 25 years, the marriage was getting on the rocks. Sylvia was going to church, and Alice Cooper said, "I just decided I better do something." He said, "I tagged along with her to church." And he was converted. He became a person of faith, Alice Cooper did. And Alice Cooper didn't stop his rock career. He continued to be a rocker, but he said he became a classic Christian by simply following his wife to church and hearing the powerful stories of how God's love can change people's lives. And not only did Alice Cooper's marriage, was it not only saved, but Alice Cooper would go on to say, "I'm probably the only dad that when the child's music is turned up so loud in their bedroom, knocks on the door and says, 'Turn that music up.'" But Alice Cooper says that he experienced God's grace and was converted and lives a life of faith. You see, we do small things occasionally in life, and they have great impact upon other people's lives. Sometimes we don't even know that. But through our faith, by God's grace, we can be in those vineyards inspiring people with our stories of how we've come to know Jesus, how we've been changed by God's amazing love. And I think every time we think of grace, every time we experience grace, we ought to think about it being amazing, because you and I can't bargain for that grace. We can't be like those workers going into the labors trying to convince the landowner that we ought to be paid more. You see, God's grace is powerful and life-changing, but we don't deserve it. We can't earn it. We don't inherit it. It simply demonstrates in powerful ways how much God loves us and how much God desires us to work in this kingdom, to work in this vineyard with all of God's people, not people set apart because of where they're from or who they know or don't know or how much they don't make or how much they do make, but equal in God's eyes, loved equally by God. And so we have much to be thankful for. We have much to point to and to be thankful to our God for. So don't envy those who seem to have a leg up in life. Don't rejoice when someone seems to be put in their place because of their lack of education or training or station in life. But rejoice in your faith. Rejoice knowing that God loves you completely, unselfishly, and abundantly. And let that grace change your life so that you can be a part of serving this kingdom that God has created for us. This story affirms the dignity of all people. It serves us as a way of sharing what God's kingdom is truly like, hopefully inspiring those who seem to be left out or lost to know how much that God loves them and cares for them. So let's be a blessing to others, knowing the better part of the story, knowing how God uses these situations in life to transform people's lives so that we can be faithful, fruitful people working in God's kingdom. We're coming to the table here in just a moment. We're going to break bread together. We're going to celebrate in all the ways that God has loved us. And this is not the final chapter of today. This is a place where we come to experience God's grace in life-changing ways. So as you receive the gift that God has for you today at the table, let that be a reminder, a powerful reminder of our need to extend that grace to this world. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.